Getting Zen with Gen Z, empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today, I'm so excited to have my cousin here with me from LA, Steve Piacenza. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jen. I'm more excited than you are.
I've been waiting for this. We've been planning this for a few months now.
Yeah.
And over the holiday season, of course, you're here home visiting the family.
That's right.
But, you know, I've always loved you. I feel like we've had such an amazing connection.
We did. And we're, you know, we have a few years in between us.
Yes.
So the early years, you know, you were just a kid.
I know.
And then you grew up and look at this.
How many years in between us do we have? I literally just turned 37.
About 14, yeah. I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. Something like that.
But you were always like my idol. Like,
and
still are. I mean, you've had such an impressive career and story. And that's why I really wanted to have you on here today, because I feel like you can, you know, tell us all and share the determination you had. I feel like what we have in common is we're very determined.
Yeah, for sure.
And we are achievers and we set goals and we definitely seek to, you know, accomplish them.
Yeah.
But with career, with life, with everything in general.
Yeah. And a bit stubborn, I think.
A bit, you know, just a little bit.
You got that Italian
maybe,
in us. Yeah,
maybe,
a little.
But I mean, that's what I think it gives us. I'd like to say, you know, we're passionate.
That's a very nice word. And yes, you have to be passionate and goal-driven and go for whatever you're passionate about to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think we're kindred spirits for sure.
Listen, it's in the blood.
It is.
Yeah.
It is in the blood.
Yeah.
We realize there's a lot of different things in the blood as we've been on the way here, as we were talking about your grandmother, my great aunt, who just turned 100, literally.
And so wait, let's explain maybe to your listeners how we are related.
Okay, yes.
So
this would be great.
So my grandmother and your grandfather were brother and sister.
Yes. Correct.
There it goes.
So that is my great aunt. And celebrating 100 years.
Yes, Rosina.
Crazy.
December 2nd, we had her big birthday party on Saturday.
Yep.
Because everybody was in town for the holidays, and she is 100 and still kicking it.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Just between her and then her sister, our other great aunt, Artzia Veronica, is 95 and completely with it in the mind, which blows me away. But those are the best visits. You know, I was talking with Tia Veronica the other day on Monday, on Christmas Eve, and she's like, you know, the young people, I don't think they really take the time as much to have the relationship with the older people. And I said, you know, you're right. Like, I think that's so important for us to connect and just spend time talking and hearing stories and the wisdom they can share is, I mean, that's like my favorite part of my Mondays.
What's interesting is I think the way we grew up, and I think you might be actually the last generation of it. It's, you know, I truly believe this, and I hate to harp on it and sound like an old man fish shaker, but the technology has really taken away, you know, sitting around, listening to the stories. It's, you know, it's so important because those wise, older generations above us have so many stories to tell. And
there's
little golden nuggets in there. And I think this younger generation right now, they lose out.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's super unfortunate.
It's so amazing just hearing the stories, the laughter, the hardships they went through, everything. I just think you can, you know, step back and be present in that moment to have that conversation.
And take the time to do it. Because, you know, you'd be surprised how interesting it really is to hear those old stories and what they went through. And, you know, to get here. I mean, that's a whole other subject.
That's a whole other topic. That's going to be episode 2 when we're together.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. But, and so I just want to let you guys know, too, we're in a little bit of a different studio today. So if I'm coming across sounding a little bit echoey, that's just some technical difficulties.
And I always sound nasally, so that's just my voice.
And there's going to be a lot of laughter because the two of us together is very interesting. Let's just say that.
It's fun.
So, Steve, tell us.
Yes.
When did you make your move out to L.A.?
Well, I made the move out to L.A., I believe, and it was either 90 or 91.
Okay.
In August. So that was a long time ago. But I was lucky as a kid because I kind of, at 12 years old, I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
That's amazing. Not a lot of people can say that.
Right. I was super lucky that way. I was a full-on TV kid. You know, I was a 70s kid. I was the kid who loved WGN TV.
Yeah.
Especially, I loved the old Creature Features.
Oh, yeah.
And all you Chicago listeners out there, I know if you're my age, you remember Creature Features on Saturday night. But
you
they
and
used
Dad.
To, WGN yeah. used to play old movies.
Uh-huh.
You know, on Saturday afternoons or even Sunday. I don't remember which day it was, but I remember the movie Vertigo.
Okay.
Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo yes. came on television, and I sat there and watched it at age, I think, 11. And I was fascinated by it. And I asked my mom, I said, what is that? And she said, what do you mean, what is that? You know, it's a yeah. movie. I said, what's it called? She said, it's Vertigo, and this is it. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you do what? How does this happen? You know, I mean, I'm 11. I mean,
right.
I knew it was a movie, but I mean, how, what is the process?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Yes.
Is this a job? Is
yeah.
this something I can do? And my mom was like, my mom.
Yeah.
Super supportive and everything.
And, oh, my God. Kathy's the best. Yeah. We love you.
And, you know, she said, she goes, that's movie making. That's mm-hmm. television making. And I said, that's what I want to do.
That's incredible.
So then from there, of course, you know, you're just kind of growing up. Then there were two movies. Mm-hmm. There was Vertigo on TV, and mm-hmm. then I saw the movie Halloween in the theater. Okay, I'm a horror junkie, so this is why it all happened for me.
As I'm laughing. Yes.
So I saw Vertigo at 12 years old in the movie theater, and I was like, first of all, scared to death. Mm-hmm. I think I slept with my little sister Gina for 3 weeks after that movie. It still holds up today. But I was fascinated by that movie. Mm-hmm. Those were the two movies. And I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't care how I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do for my life.
That's
and
incredible.
I was lucky in that sense where I knew exactly what I was going to do. So from there, you know, I went through high school, did all, you know, the fun stuff. But I was always the kid at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, used to go out and hang out with the guys.
Yeah.
And then I went to Columbia. Here in Chicago.
Awesome.
And I went. It was a smaller school back then. I hear it's huge now. I haven't been back in so long. But I went to Columbia Film and Television, and I got my training. Mm-hmm. And I learned everything from, you know, script writing to editing to filmmaking. Back then, you used to get these 16-millimeter Bolax cameras, and you used to be able to go out and just shoot whatever you wanted in the city and make
that
your own movies.
That is so cool.
Add sound to it. Eddie, you did the whole thing. So the training was amazing at Columbia. And then from there, I worked. I mean, I worked all through college. Mm-hmm. That summer, I worked three jobs. I worked at the Blue Plate on Clark Street. I worked at Giordano's on Belmont, and then I park cars.
Okay.
So I worked three jobs, and I made...
Living the hustle,
and I made $6,000 cash.
Wow. Look at that.
Back in 1990.
That's some big money right there.
Huge money. From there, I had a plan. You know, from Columbia, somebody said, you have to go to North Hollywood. North Hollywood's a place to go. This is where you're going to, you know, make it happen.
Make it big.
Clueless what I was doing. And thank God I was clueless, because I think if I had any true knowledge. I mean, I was kind of fearless, and you're fearless at that age. I think, what was I, 20 years old?
But I feel
21,
like this.
21, 22, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're going to go into the story, but I feel like this does take a lot of courage.
It does. But you know what? At that age, you are kind of fearless, mm-hmm. and you don't have any, at least I was, you know.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to do, and it had to.
It was either
New York
yeah.
or California. New York was way too expensive and confusing for me.
Right.
California seemed a little bit more reasonable, uh-huh. and everything was cheaper back then. So I took that $6,000, and I believe it was in August, $6,000 in my front pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
A duffel bag full of clothes,
mm-hmm.
and I got on a Greyhound bus.
Wow.
I remember leaving the house. My mom's just crying.
Crying? It's like, no, where are you going? What's happening?
My dad's
so worried.
Like, see ya.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah.
No problem.
The bus ride took 3 days. I'm like, I'm on an adventure. And it was 3 days to get to California. Everything from babies crying, flat tires, cops pulling the bus over for like a drug bus kind of deal. It was insane. And I was just like...
This is it, man.
Couldn't have been happier.
Right.
You know?
You're like, yes. Living the dream.
Living the dream. So I get there and I get dumped off in North Hollywood bus station. And you guys have to remember, there was no cell phones,
nothing.
No computers, nothing.
You had no arrangements what you were doing or where you were going. Yeah.
No arrangements. And I got dropped off and I'm like, Okay. This is it.
This is where I am right now.
I slept on the park bench.
Oh my gosh.
Bushes kind of deal.
Yeah.
For a night. And
wow.
I had a pocket full of quarters and I went around the neighborhood, wrote down with a piece of paper and pen for rent signs.
Yeah.
Went to the payphone and the third person I called, I just said, this is the deal. I first month's, last month's in deposit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a film major from Chicago. I have a job lined up, which I lied.
That's okay.
Zero job.
It's okay.
And he said, I'll be right there. I got my first apartment.
Oh my gosh.
That was it.
Wow.
I know.
That's incredible.
So that's how it all started.
And then you've been there ever since.
Yeah, I've been there ever since. And then from there, it was just like, you know, your first jobs, just stepping stones. My first real major job was at a place called Dubs in Los Angeles, and there was an editing facility and a dubbing facility.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to do my first two like major accounts were Richard Simmons' Deal Emil.
Oh my gosh, stop.
Do you remember
it.
That? And the trailer for Edward Scissorhands.
No.
Those were the first two that I was a participant on. Yeah, those were the first
Edward
two at this
place. Oh my God.
Yeah,
I love
it was
that.
Pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I had to learn everything, though. I had no idea. North Hollywood, you have to understand, isn't really part of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there is a North Hollywood is over a big hill.
Okay.
So the real Hollywood, mm-hmm. I was on the wrong side of Hollywood.
Okay, you were on the wrong side.
Right.
You needed to get to the right side.
So I had to figure that out. And, of course, I learned the bus system, and I was taking the bus back and forth. And I got my first little, I think it was a 1978 Red Chevette. I bought it from somebody that worked at Dubs also. It was his mother's, $900. So, you know, I just did it. I just, whatever had to happen, I just made it happen. And it didn't matter. I had no, you know,
you're
me,
just going to get it done.
I was going to get it done.
You did what you needed to do.
And everything was exciting. My $900 car was just like, oh my, you know, a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, it was the little things for me because I knew what the big picture was.
Right.
At the end.
And you always had that set in your mind.
Always had it set in my mind. Always knew exactly what I wanted to do. And again, what I was fortunate is I always did and still doing what I love to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, waking up every day and going to work is a complete pleasure.
And I think that's something that people don't understand. I mean, we're both fortunate, I think, to be able to experience that.
Yeah.
Is living the life that we love or envisioned or doing everything that we want to do and everything else will kind of fall in place.
It's the biggest luxury in life, I believe.
Yeah, and that's one of the hardest things is I was talking to one of my partners of just future planning and they're like, Jen, you know, everything else will fall into place. Like we can set, you know, numbers, finances, all that stuff. But you've already done the difficult task. What's hard for people is to figure out what makes them happy.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think there's also different, like quarters in life,
mm-hmm.
meaning there's the first quarter, the second quarter, third and fourth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm already like done with the second. Like I'm going into my third right now because where my career has kind of taken me from that first point of mm-hmm. going out there and starting to work in movies and TV, you know, I'm at a different place now.
Yes.
But everything has been stepping stones up to that point.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah.
Everything leads to different opportunities that I think you never really envision yourself being at.
Right.
But, I mean, I never thought I'd be sitting here with you right now
doing
this podcast.
Right?
So it's like everything just kind of, you know.
Yeah. And my whole thing also it was never, ever about making a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. It was always about this this lifestyle and what makes me happy. I mean, I always was able to make decent money at what I was doing, but it was never about that.
Right.
Because I know I know some rich people who are the most miserable
people,
you know?
Ever.
Like,
yes.
You know, sometimes too much is too much.
Exactly.
You gotta make make yourself happy before, you know. A big bank account isn't always makes you the happiest.
Yes. So you're working on films, TV.
Yeah.
all of that great work doing what you love.
Yeah.
So kind of bring us forward a little bit. I mean, because your career has evolved.
Yeah, it has evolved. So when I was out, you know, first out there, it was full on. After Dubs, after that great experience, I started working on movies and television and commercials. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was doing, just nonstop for years and years and years. And then just to fast forward all through that, instead of going into detail on exactly what it was, my last show was at, I'm still working on the movies. Mm-hmm. I still do it.
Yes.
And I'll tell you about that.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Right. But it was at Paramount Studios. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that filmmaking, watching it on the screen, looks really wonderful and glamorous and oh my God and fun, and people are so envious of the actors and all this.
Right.
Movie making is a ton of fun. I mean, I wouldn't change it for anything. But it is a lot of hard work and a lot of long hours.
Yeah.
So I decided to get out of the business for a while because you can go in and out. You know, you can work on a show for 3 months and then
until
you get your next show, you know, you can take as much time off as you want.
Yeah.
Which works and can also be dangerous a little bit because sometimes you work with the same type of people and you're just, you know, it's one show after the other. So you're always...
you're always working, always busy. You don't want to be out of the scene too much.
Right. Not always double booking, but definitely you know what your next project's going to be, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got out. Last show was at Paramount Studios, and I was on the back lot of Paramount. And I'm always writing. I'm always writing my crazy shows, you know, crazy movies.
I love it.
So,
I love it.
You know, like I said, I'm a big B. I love the B horror movies from the 50s also. It's kind of my
thing. I mean, you
thing.
Know my dad, and you, we, like,
we
connect
are,
on this to a whole
yeah,
other level.
Beyond. That was, so I had no idea about that until, like, five years ago.
And side note, real quick, I think my dad's proudest accomplishment of mine is the fact that I have now met and am friends with Sven Gulli, and he wished me a happy birthday yesterday and wants us to go on set. I'm like, you don't understand. This would make my dad's life.
Like, and your dad talked about the Universal Monsters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were like total
100%.
Saturday WGN.
100%.
You know, B-movie horror junkies, yeah. Where was I? Yeah,
but
so Paramount Studios,
yes.
Yeah. And, you know, you meet a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting literally in the back lot, you know, the fake back lot, New York Street, and on the curb there, and just kind of writing. And this girl came up to me and said, what are you doing? You know, and I said, oh, I'm, you know, just doing this writing. And it was a wardrobe girl. Her name was Kathy Fillion. Is Kathy Fillion. And
in comes Kathy.
And she's like, I said, I don't know. It's like my old B-horror movies that I like. You know, I'm just writing one. And I don't remember what it was.
Right,
I mean, I've got so many
I'm just nerding out.
She's like, oh, cool. What about this, this, and this? I'm like, oh, that's a really good idea. You know, so I start writing that down. And then we became friends on set. And I said, you know, I'm going to get out of the business for a while. She's like, really? She goes, why? And I said, because I want to do something else. I'm tired of the long hours. And I just want to try something else. She goes, well, what are you going to do? I said, I have absolutely no idea. I said, something, though. You know, I said, I might open up a little shop. Because I've always worked with my hands.
Yes.
As always, you know, it's been like one of my things, making props and being a little bit crafty. And
that's in the blood, too, I think.
DIY there, you know? Everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, well, do you want a partner? I mean, literally, that's what she said. I'm like, partner in what? She goes, I don't know, whatever you're going to do. I said, really? I said, well, that'd be kind of cool. You know, who are you again?
What's your name? Okay.
It happened that fast. And I was like, yeah, sure. Again, you know, just go with the flow. And
totally.
I said, I'm thinking of opening up a little shop. I said, I want to make things and maybe try to sell them. And she said, well, that's great. I'm, you know, pretty handy myself. She goes, I make purses and candles and all this stuff. I'm like, great, let's do it.
Perfect.
So weirdly enough, across the street from Paramount Studios was a for rent sign on a little shop. I kid you not. And it was on Van Ness Street, right across from Paramount. And I said, there's this little shop right across there. I said, it's a perfect location. I said, around the corner is a restaurant. And I said, there's no other shops around for these Paramount people. Because you have to understand, the studios are like little, villages.
They're kind of away. Yeah. There's not much around, right?
They're their own little towns. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's in them, and there's so many people that work in them. And everybody went to this restaurant. So I'm thinking, well, if they're going to the restaurant and they need something, you know, they'll stop here.
Right.
So long story short, that's what happened. I opened up a little store with this girl, Kathy, and we took artisans and, I mean, people were like making paintings, or they made hats, or they mm-hmm. made purses, or they made candles, and we'd like, yeah, commission, come on in,
right.
bring your stuff
we'll
in,
it.
And we'll sell it and see how it goes. And of course, we were doing all this stuff too. Then what happened was we had this Thursday night deal called Handmade Happy Hour, where every week we would have people would come in mm-hmm. and they would see what we were making. We'd had like wine and cheese and whatever, and they'd watch us make things. That's all it was. That's how it started.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I'm like, because that's like still happening now.
It's still happening.
Well, that's a different form.
And a different form, yeah.
Yes.
So that's what
crazy.
Happened. They used to come in every week and they loved
yeah.
it and they drank wine. It was either after work or, and people would come from other places to come watch us make this stuff and learn how to make this stuff, people mm-hmm. that were interested. Some lady said, you two need a show. Again.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of a good idea.
That's a great idea.
Hey, Kat, do you want to make a sizzle
yeah.
reel? A sizzle reel is you shoot a little, you know, 5-minute deal of maybe what a show could be,
mm-hmm.
become on television.
Right.
And we're talking now, what year is this? This is probably 2000.
Well, because I remember the store. I think when I was out there.
I still had the store?
You still had the store when I was out there for my film and television. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that yet.
No, but when I was out there for my course, my makeup course.
Right.
You had the store.
Okay.
I was there because I remember, oh my God, this amazing
lotion. What year were you there?
So I graduated high school in 2000,
mm-hmm.
and I was out there probably 2001.
Yeah, it had to be because that's kind of when we...
Yeah, 2001-ish, because I went and got my license first in aesthetics
yeah.
and then came out right after that. So 2001, 2002.
Okay. That makes sense because the only reason sometimes my timing
mm-hmm.
has been so much I forget, but I know it was after 9/11 when we closed the store because of the TV show. I know that. I remember it was, I mean, 2000, I mean, 9/11 happened when
9/11.
I had the store. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was because I was supposed to fly out there
yeah.
to come start school,
right.
and I wouldn't get on the plane,
yeah.
and I trained it out.
Yeah, should we talk about that really quick? When Jen came out.
You can. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that was great. So this is when I didn't really, you know, we knew each other, of
yeah.
course. We were family, but, you
right.
know, you were so much younger than I was, and
yeah.
Jen came out for makeup school.
Yes, I did.
And she came out and get the phone call. Hey, Steve, this is your cousin, Jen. Like, I'm coming out there. Then you called me. I was like, you were at the Oakwood? Oakwood.
Yeah, like corporate.
Apartments.
Yeah, apartments.
Yeah.
Fully furnished.
Yeah.
I ended up buying a Chevy Eldorado that the gas meter did not work. So you had to guesstimate when it was like running out
right.
and you needed gas. So like on the 101, that was fabulous, let me tell you.
Scary, especially
so,
LA traffic.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I ended up selling that car in like, I think a Target parking lot or
yeah.
something before I came back home.
Right. You're not supposed to have a great car when you first, you know?
I mean,
your
no,
first
oh,
car,
no.
you're not supposed
it
to
was
have it.
I still have pictures of that car. That was quite an experience.
Yeah, especially with the LA traffic.
Yeah.
Always have a full tank. You never know how long
oh,
you're
right.
gonna
be I was
stuck.
Like, okay, I guess we need to fill up. And my friend came out with me and boyfriend at the time
yeah,
came out.
I remember.
Yeah. It was a very interesting experience.
I came to visit you a couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah.
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 So
you did.
If you need anything, Jen, let me know. You know.
Yes.
I made
it was good.
I made sure you were all right.
I was yes, you did, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very much so.
That was
I think that's maybe when things started evolving a little bit.
Yeah. For you.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
That was like a different, that seems like a totally different life.
But
then.
Look what you're doing now. I mean,
right.
you did the makeup thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I came back and then started working for MAC.
Yeah.
Working with them, managing. I just knew I couldn't be away from the family. I couldn't
right.
be out. You love that energy out there. And I just, it wasn't me. It
yeah.
wasn't for me. And so I came back and started working for MAC and managed with them and for 6 years, and then now had Gen Z's 11.
Yeah, Crazy.
So it's crazy that I've been in a career for 17 years. I feel like that's just right out of high school. You know, it's
that's where
a
we're
long time.
That's where we connect right
for
there.
For sure. 100%.
Yeah. So. But yeah, that was fun having you out there for a while.
Yeah, but I remember this, and I remember this lotion I would get that had...
We had a big lotion bar.
Yes,
so everything
did.
Was unscented, and then we had all the essential oils that you wanted to put in it. That was
maybe
cool.
Maybe that's why I love essential oils so much.
Maybe.
It all started with you.
But yeah, you could... What did we have? I mean, God.
I can't remember the scent.
There were so many combinations.
Good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Well, that's what a lot of people came in the store for.
Mm-hmm.
We had those big bottles of lotion, everything from... I don't remember. I mean, it was like body lotion and foot lotion, whatever, but you could create your own smell.
Yeah.
That's what was cool about it. Yeah.
And oh my God, now, and I'm just thinking about this, but it's like I'm rebranding and making all my skincare, my organic skincare. It's
mm-hmm.
like the same. I'm just envisioning the bottle that your lotion was in, and I'm like, that looks like my cleanser bottle. That's funny.
Could be from the same place.
Yeah, there
knows?
You go.
So, yeah, anyways, we had those Thursday handmade happy hour deals, mm-hmm. and somebody said, you two need a show, and so then we did make a sizzle reel, which is a 4-minute, which turned into, like, 10 minutes, anyways, of what a show could be, a DIY show. So Kathy was
Crazy.
Doing everything from making jewelry to hand-sewing purses. I was doing food stuff and automotive stuff and... You know, and we sent it out.
Mm-hmm.
We sent out this little 10-minute sizzle reel of us. And what the great thing about it was also, you know, we knew how to make TV.
Yeah.
You know, easy.
You had that experience.
We had the experience. I was already in it for 10 years. So I could do it blindfolded. And 2.5 weeks later, you know, Scripps Howard calls, who is HGTV, DIY, Fine Living. They had a country station back then. Anyways, it was they called up and said, mm-hmm. we'd like to meet with you guys, and boom, they're like, we want to give you guys 25 episodes of a TV show.
Were you like, oh,
we're
my
like,
God,
cool? Yeah, I mean, it was
cool.
pretty
That's
pretty
great.
Cool.
That, yeah,
so we shot, fast forward a little bit, we shot this show. It was called Assembly Required,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning.
Okay. Because then it changed.
Then it changed. Then they changed the name to Creative Juice.
Yeah.
And then they kind of changed the whole show into because of the age dynamics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I was doing wasn't good for their brand, meaning there weren't too many men watching DIY.
Uh-huh.
It was very crafty.
Female.
It
yeah.
was very female-oriented. It was very 30-plus.
Mm-hmm.
So the show kind of changed up a little bit, which I didn't really, you know, I was a little disappointed, but I was like, that's
but
cool.
They're
giving
right.
us 25 episodes.
Right, right.
So they got the 25 episodes. They started airing it. It became a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave us 75 more episodes on top of that.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't so much, it was a lot of work, only because Kathy and I were writing the show.
Mm-hmm.
We produced the show. And we hosted the show.
Right. So you were doing everything.
We were doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, we were...
were you doing it in your house? Or no?
The first season was in my house.
Okay.
Because my house was... It was huge.
Yeah.
It was an old 19... The place was built in 1918.
Beautiful.
It was
yeah.
old Hollywood. It had
mm-hmm.
all the arches. Had so much character.
I loved it, yeah.
It was on the side of a hill,
mm-hmm.
so you literally had to, like, walk.
You kind of felt like you were in Italy.
It was
like
kinda,
in a
yeah.
reminiscent.
We lived
bit.
Up in the hills,
yeah.
so from the sidewalk, you'd have to go down some steps. And when you got into my place, you were mm-hmm. up 2 stories. So it was mm-hmm. beautiful. You know, it was
yeah.
really pretty. So we got basically 104 episodes out of that show. And it was...
Wow, I didn't realize it was that many.
It was
That's
that
a
many.
Lot.
And a couple Christmas specials and Halloween specials.
Wow.
So,
I remember
yeah.
everyone in Highwood. Like, I mean, your family, of course, like everybody like so excited. Like,
yeah.
oh, my God, Stevie.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, and you know what? When we started doing the sizzle reel and stuff, we really were thinking, you know, we liked the show, but we didn't think we were going to host it. We did it so we didn't have to hire actors to come in.
Right.
We were expecting to audition 2 people for this part,
mm-hmm.
but the network said, no, we
they
want
like,
you guys.
Yeah. You guys have a great dynamic.
Because it's kind of natural.
Yes,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
and
hard to recreate.
104 episodes from there. And then the coolest part about it was we got nominated for Emmys. So we got nominated 2 years in a row, back to back.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so that was kind of nice. I took my mom, of course.
Of course. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to.
Mama's like, no one else is going but me.
No. I said, you better said, take me.
You got it, Mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We didn't win. Martha Stewart won. No, Paula Deen won against
okay, yep.
us. And then Martha Stewart won against us. We're in good company.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm like, yeah. with Martha, hey.
We didn't care. Right. We were just like.
You were there. You were nominated. Did you ever think getting on that bus that this is where you were going to be?
I wanted to make horror movies.
Right.
That's all I wanted to do.
That's all. And yeah. now you're crafting, have a show. Like, yeah. I mean, that's incredible.
Doing DIY show. Yeah, like I said, it's just weird how you
life
start with one thing and it just kind of. Brings you into different directions, and
totally.
You just jump on it.
So, after Creative Juice,
yeah.
that kind of ended,
mm-hmm.
and then you and Kathy still have remained in this business partnership.
Yes, because right. we depend on each other at this point. You know,
yeah.
it's like
well, it works,
and it
right?
works. And the great thing about what we're doing now is we can still do other things,
mm-hmm.
but maintain this little DIY
right.
world that
together.
We're in. Together and you know from there it's just been stepping stones up to you know a product line
mm-hmm.
that we got working for different companies now because the show's over so different companies ask us to come do things so we're doing webisodes now because the whole all of television has changed as far as you know the DIY stuff
uh-huh.
you know you look on like HGTV because we run DIY and HGTV at the exact same time
okay
And the show's still running. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard we're in Japan right now.
That is crazy.
You know? And it was in Belgium like last year. So the package of that show still holds up.
It still
and
exists.
It goes
yeah.
away because they're still making money off of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
So, I mean, the big deal with the product line.
Yeah. So from there, the product line came about. So me and Kathy were creating just different ideas and different things. And we saw what maybe the craft stores didn't have and what we can kind of invent. And
right.
so that's been a lot of fun. And that's kind of been a pleasure to do because, again, it's just keeping creative. And that's what I love to do. So.
Well, that's a huge, I mean, to have a product in storage. So Mod Podge.
Mod Podge is the brand that we've been working with. So Mod Podge is actually like a glue and sealer.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen it's been around since 1969.
I was going to say, it's been around for a long
didn't
time.
Didn't invent that
no.
in 69.
No.
No, not that old.
You're like, no, Jen, let's clarify, please.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Am not, what would that make me, 80-something? I don't know. Not that old yet.
But that's a huge brand. So you guys came in and kind of...
Yeah, well, from the brand, from the name mm-hmm. Mod Podge, what we've done, what we did is we took that name and packaged other products under that name.
Okay.
So we use the Mod Podge brand
right.
that could all kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a new stencil line that out, 81 stencils, like in a value pack that's in Walmart right now.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
So we kind of penetrated through Walmart, which
because it all
makes
started,
us
it was
very
in Michael's, for, right?
It's in Michael's. We have a little bit in Michael's, a little bit in, you know, a lot of independent craft mm-hmm. stores around.
Yeah.
That, you know, the smaller ones were also in Walmart.
But Walmart.
So, I know, kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, again, from a little kid from,
I mean,
from Chicago.
Right.
Who just wanted to make horror movies.
Who has
again,
a product line in Walmart.
It goes back to that. But like I said, though, like you,
yeah.
if you're driven.
Right.
And I haven't driven. It just kind of...
Well, I think you're open. You're open to what life has to bring and offer and the opportunities. I think we pay attention and kind of like see those things.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, let's give this a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we say yes to a lot of things that can
yeah.
lead us to places, you know? Taking the risk.
Right. As long as it kind of isn't... How do I say it?
It made sense.
It makes sense. You say
yeah.
yes to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you take the time and... You know, just not be lazy and work.
Yeah.
Work, be excited about things and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
really
like we say, it's still living the hustle, you know,
right.
but I feel like I'd have life no other way. I can't just sit still. You know, it's,
yeah.
I take some time for myself, but like I need to constantly just be going and doing.
Yeah.
And
you know, my other thing way back when, honestly, the hustle was also to survive.
Yeah.
That was the other thing.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, I was on my own. Mm-hmm. I had bills to pay.
Right.
I mean, I had
You had
rent,
to make it happen.
I had car, I had insurances. I had, you know, I didn't have any help. So it was mm-hmm. like, you're either, you know, you have to hustle
yeah.
and you have to get it done. And that
right.
kind of drive also led into, and so much of it is just meeting people and meeting people and meeting people, and you do a good job for those people and they remember you.
It's the networking. It's those connections.
In.
I always say, like, the most important thing is, yeah. in life is the relationships that you form.
Yeah, I agree. It truly is.
It, you know.
And passion.
Yeah,
I mean, they see you're
absolutely.
Passionate about something. You know, you're supposed to be in a certain place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Once you find that,
mm-hmm.
you'll be okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So now you guys are still doing a lot of web. So you have
yeah.
the product line, and then you have web
episodes. We have web shows now.
Okay.
Because, like I say, the television industry has changed so much.
Different.
HGTV is all about real estate now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one's doing much DIY stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's also, like, Netflix now and Amazon Prime.
Right.
And, you know, they have kind of taken over those networks as far as specific show types of shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many different outlets now. So, yeah, we do a couple different shows. We have Make It with Mod Podge with Kathy and Steve.
Okay.
We also have Furniture Flip with Kathy and Steve. And now when I go back to Los Angeles, we have a new show coming out called, it's so new I don't even remember.
I don't know the name.
It's a family craft show with Kathy and Steve.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me pull it up really quick because I just actually got the logo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just got the logo
Exciting.
Set from me.
Exciting.
Because I don't want to mess it up. Oh, I just turned off my
oh,
phone.
Oh, yeah.
We had to turn the phones off. So,
You're like, I'm not just going to silence it. I will turn it off.
Because it's going to start
we need
vibrating.
The phone.
And, yeah. It's family. But, it's a family craft show. Anyways,
right.
it's geared towards, which we haven't done too much of, is kid crafting.
Okay.
So it's great for parents.
Well, yeah.
I
mean, there's so much potential with that, especially around holidays, like every day, seasonally, like things to keep, you know, activities, obviously, to keep your kids.
Well, there's also a madness
busy and creative.
To our method to our madness. Which way does it go? Hold on. I'm sorry.
Method
I'm pulling this up
madness.
Right now. Where is it? There we go. So that's the new logo.
Oh, my God.
It's
I
Family
love
Craft
it.
Night with Kathy and Steve. It's brand new.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And this is
I love it.
Through Plaid Enterprise.
Okay.
So they're a big, huge, great craft company out
that's
in
incredible.
Atlanta who we're working with.
Wow.
So that's the next show. And yeah, that's going to be fun because what we've always tried to do is, again, like I was saying about technology, technology's amazing, but you know what? There is so much detachment with
yep.
things. It's
mm-hmm.
all about the visual and the tablets and the phones and, you know, they're zoning. It's like, clear that dining room table off, put a mock
right.
on and,
yes.
you know, start using your brain that way.
Yeah.
You know.
It's so important. I know. I think everybody, I mean, technology is great for the convenience of things and we, you know, it's so accessible and it's awesome. I think we need it in the world that we are
for
in
sure.
now.
Absolutely.
But you do have to disconnect at times and
unplug.
Like enjoy people, unplug, do crafts, do different things, work with your hands. You know, it's just
yeah.
like you need to kind of have that balance a little bit because it can get way too consuming.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, that's why when you asked me to do the podcast thing, it was like, absolutely, because you are, you know, Zen
yeah.
with Gen Z. And I was like, well, this kind of works perfect because mm-hmm. I honestly don't have stress in my life.
This is a great segue.
Right?
Yes.
This is it.
You got
this
it.
This is where it all comes into play because I don't have stress. And if I do have a little stress, it's, you know, eliminated in certain ways. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's ways that people who have maybe corporate jobs or, I mean, listen, I'm no doctor, first of all, and I don't have this perfect life. I don't want to make it sound like that's what's happening.
No, but you can share this information and it can be very helpful to
yeah,
people.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have very stressful lives. And there's, for me, I had to be creative in a working environment for the rest of my life
mm-hmm.
because if I didn't, I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
And I would be that person that was completely stressed out.
Right.
You know, and there's so many different ways of being creative. It's not just, you know, glue and paper and whatever. I mean, you can dance. You can, you know, you can sing, you can exercise.
Like do jiu-jitsu,
exactly.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different ways. And this was just the way for me at the very beginning. I had to be creative to keep things kind of balanced for my brain.
Yeah. You needed that. I think it's you know, almost a form of meditation, but it's like having your own hobby, having that outlet where you can unplug from the outside world and have that peace that's part of your life that's going to keep you grounded and kind of having that low stress and kind of letting go of just that stressful energy.
Yeah, and it's that unplugging, you know, if you do come home with a stressful day, you know, unplug. I mean, even an hour.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's, you know, a lot of time.
And what's weird, it's interesting because, you know, those adult coloring books?
Yes.
They were huge. Huge. And the reason why is because it was taking an hour out of your day.
Oh, yeah. My mom loves those.
Well, people don't even realize, like, once you do unplug for an hour and you zone in, your brain changes.
Totally.
You mellow out. You get calm. And you can almost, you know... Or you can have a shot of whiskey, one or the other.
We've talked about that, too. Yeah. But even that, that's like a band-aid. That puts you in a different mindset. You know, it's not as restful.
Right. You know, of course.
Of course.
But, and that's what I was saying about
everybody, you know, everything in
moderation. Everyone has their vices.
Yes.
But mine was definitely just being creative and just being able, because your brain also mentally and physically... mentally, anything that you're stressing about or worrying about, when you start doing that creative thing, whatever it is, whatever the hobby is, you're not thinking about this worry over here anymore. You at least have an hour break where you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And physically, it changes. They say it does. It changes the brain a little bit where everything comes down. You know, you bring it down.
Well, you learn to be, I think, more calm. Or, you know, in jiu-jitsu, we like to say being comfortable in the uncomfortable. You can't think about things when you're worried about getting choked out or your arm broken off. Or, you know, so it's like your mind completely goes into another place, because those things you are worrying about, if you're consumed with that, you can really get hurt, you know, or you're not focusing, or you're not going to be more dominant, whatever it is.
Right.
But when you step off those mats, it's like, oh, what was I worrying about before? Like, if I survived that, I can survive anything.
Right.
So that's that kind of connection for me in that world. But even, you know, and I, as you say, you know, being creative, like I think about my mom too, and even my nonna, like just, you know, they would crochet all the time, like crocheting or making pasta. And, you know, they like to do it on their own. So the tortellini, like that kind of stuff would be just them. Cause that would be something that was more calming for them. Yeah. So having that, you know, outlet or the coloring, you know, being creative and just
whatever it is,
you kind of, you're able to, you know, just get back to yourself.
Yeah. And I always say to people, you know, you can, there are so many different programs. I mean, after work things, you know, there's painting, there's dance.
Yeah.
There's, I wrote some things down. Because,
let's pull your notes
out. Well, I was just saying, you know, and do something you love. You can also find inspiration in other people. Kind of look what they're doing and don't be envious. It's like, jump in.
Right.
You know, what are you doing? Where's that class at? I'd like to...
I talked about that for the new year. In the new year, the first week, the episode's coming out with a fitness expert. And we talked about latching on to friends. It doesn't have to be somebody who's like famous in the fitness world or crafting world or whatever it is. But someone who's doing a little bit of that, like latch on to them and kind of be like, okay, maybe I'm going to come with you, or have that as your accountability person or whatever it may be. But like... they're inspiring you, you know, so, and you can relate to them in their life if it's similar in that way. So it's like, jump on board.
Jump on board. And I also think people have this, I think there's little hidden secrets in people. You know, a lot of people that get into like business and all that, and they make a great living and stuff. And, you know, there could be a great painter there. There could be a great dancer,
singer,
you know, who knows until you actually do. And I think people are starting to, somebody was saying the other day how, you know, everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame because of social media. You know, there's so much of that. It's starting to reverse a little bit. Everybody wants their 15 minutes of, you don't know who I am.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
Yeah.
of that downtime. Like, we want that back. I think everybody was like so much of, yes, I want this, 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 that. But it's like now when we've, you know, we need that minute for ourselves.
Yeah.
That time for ourselves.
Yeah. I think everybody's just a little wound up with technology because we are kind of the, I guess, the guinea pigs, the beginning of technology, really. Because I have had nothing. Mm-hmm. And then my generation, all of a sudden, have it. And we have to have it now for work. Everyone has to have it for work. So it's like, this will never happen again. Right. Never having it and then also having it.
It's interesting. I mean, in high school, I think I had like a pager for like a brief moment. And then like the cell phone.
Remember the pager? I had a pager, too. Oh,
come on now. I mean, I could just visualize it right now. And then going into the cell phone, but the cell phone was after high school for me, I think.
Yeah, the cell phone for me was 2007. But it wasn't a smartphone. It was a flip phone.
I mean, the smartphone. Yeah, it was a
flip
phone.
When did the smartphone come in? I mean, it feels like we've had them forever now.
First, I had a BlackBerry, I think, before the smartphone. Yeah, but it was a flip. Mm-hmm. It was definitely the flip first.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, pager was maybe in high school. So it had to be, and I graduated in 2000, and I had the cell phone after that.
Yeah.
For sure. So smartphones didn't come around till later.
It's gone fast.
I mean,
the tech just boom.
It's crazy. For my birthday, I got a Apple Watch. Mm. Which is charging at home, and I'm not wearing it. But,
I can't keep mine all the time.
It's cool, you know, to not have to have your phone with you all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't, now from having the phone, it's great, but I don't want to have it with me all the time, and I can't when I have clients or I'm podcasting or whatever it may be.
It kind of feels good not to.
Yes.
You know?
It's like, I don't want to worry about this thing in my hand.
There's a little bit of an addiction going on with those things, though. I mean,
People are zoned in. We've had this conversation like with people at work. I'm like, I remember working, you wouldn't be allowed to have your cell phone or anything, you know, and it's like now I know it's part of the job and people are utilizing it.
Yeah.
But that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
If somebody's just sitting there like focused on their phone or not paying attention, I'm like, hello.
Or going out to dinner or any kind of such. Their heads are down. Mm-mm. I don't take mine with me all the time. And if I do, like, I hike a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and
another part of that Zen life?
Yeah, it's full on. And mm-hmm. I'm, again, fortunate because I live right at the base of the mountain. So I'll use it for music. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll put earbuds in. And then sometimes I'll leave everything at home and it's just silence.
Yeah.
Which is so nice. Silence is beautiful.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
Right.
I don't have like the mountains of California, but I go to Fort Sheridan a lot.
Yeah.
And go down by the tree. I need to be around trees. Like, that's my, but I have to be in nature.
Yeah.
Just complete silence.
Me
and
too.
Zone out to get to that Zen space,
yeah.
You know?
That's the best.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, that's why you have a podcast.
Well, you know, just trying to help others get to that place.
Absolutely. And then, you know, there's different ways. Like we were saying, I mean, yours is so physical, you know, with your exercise stuff.
Yeah.
I like to, you know, hike and I do go to the gym just to keep myself fit.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm saying you are very fit.
I'm okay, you know.
Yeah.
I take this shirt off and, you know, things are moving around a little bit now at 52.
Well,
but,
you're looking good. Please, you know, you're looking good. You do not look like you're 52 whatsoever.
Well, after this Italian Christmas holiday, oh my gosh. The food?
Yeah. Yesterday my mom's like, you want leftovers? I'm like, no.
I know.
I'm back to my normal eating. Thank you.
Yeah, I told my mom, I said, I'm fasting.
Yeah.
The fast
it's
starts
like, no,
today.
No.
And then she's like, are you sure I got tortellini soup?
Right.
I'm like, oh.
That's the gold right there.
Yeah, it's the gold.
What are you doing on the film side?
The film side. Okay, so, you know, the stuff me and Kathy do together with the products and the web series and all that stuff, which takes a lot of time.
Absolutely.
I also, you know, dip in and out of the movies still, or a commercial here and there. You know, I still have people that I will still call me up
right
and be like, can you work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, So that's the great thing about film and TV. Sometimes you can pop in and pop right back out. You know, you can lock yourself.
Your taste of it a little bit, you know, here and there.
It's called day playing.
Okay.
So you can either lock yourself into a whole show and you're there the whole time. Otherwise, you can day play. So I keep myself always open. A lot of times I can't, and then sometimes I can. So I'm working on, I'm working on a little bit of a movie right now, day playing now and then with a couple fun girls. Yeah. So I can't say much about it
because
I'll be way in trouble. But it, I will say it's with Nicole Kidman and Charlize Theron.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
So that's
some big stuff.
And two lovely ladies.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fun.
Maybe by the time this podcast comes out, I can put in the description what it was.
Yeah, I'll find out when I can spill it.
Yeah.
Good advertisement is what I say.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so that's always fun. It breaks it up.
Right.
You know, so I just...
But I love, you know, I, that's, once again, where we're similar is, like, we have so many different things, I think, that we do.
Yeah.
But I love, like, my day is made up of so many, like, shifts.
Keeps it fresh.
It keeps it fresh, and it's like, you know, it's just, it constantly stimulates the mind, and it's like, you kind of switch from one role to the other, but having it all, it just, it never gets boring.
No, and it always changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's what's so interesting about it. It's like, every day is different. It's not same thing over and over.
Right.
So.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, which is amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, I feel very grateful for my life.
And I mean, your family's always been super supportive of your career.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, you know, they don't always quite understand it. It's like, so wait, what do you do?
Yeah.
Especially my poor dad.
What's going on?
What do you do?
What? Oh, yeah, I can totally see that. It's okay, Dad.
It's
you don't
right.
even know.
Yeah.
But no, but that's, yeah, that's incredible. But I can see that it's a different world. You know, it's
tough to understand unless you're in it.
Yeah.
It really is because that whole industry is just, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't. And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's what I like.
I think half the time my dad doesn't like realize what I do.
That's all right. As long as they know we're happy.
It's like, okay, yes,
right?
Exactly.
I think that's all that really matters.
Exactly.
So.
He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds good. That's good. Okay, yeah. Like I said, I think Svengoolie was the biggest thing for him.
God, me too. I mean, can I meet him?
Hey.
For real? Get your dad out here and
totally.
Let's do it.
He's, I mean, yeah. He sent me a nice little birthday video.
I mean, this is how old I am. I was before the son of Svengoolie. I mean, I remember him.
Right.
But I was Creature Feature.
Yes, yes.
With the... Do you remember? Do you remember seeing what the?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My God, he was so scary.
I mean, yeah. 100%. 100%.
And I was a Night Gallery kid.
Mm-hmm.
Those were so scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dad was in all.
I mean,
all that and it just now it continues on Twilight Zone.
Oh yeah. I gotta. You know what? I have something for your dad. I gotta send it to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll love that. I'm sure he'll be excited.
I got a bunch of things.
Awesome.
I got God, he should come out. I'm going to Monsterpalooza again in April.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Yeah, I was in, you know, the new Halloween movie that came out in 2018.
Yes.
I did it the whole convention. I just totally nerded out.
But so Halloween has been, like, at the core of you.
Well, like I said, like, Vertigo and Halloween.
Yes,
and people
where it
just
started.
Are like, shut up about it. But it's just like, this is what started everything for me. And it's, you know, and I live right by the Halloween houses and, you know, they're right there.
I know, so. I would enjoy seeing all your posts that you would put up.
The Myers house. Yeah, it's just, again, I have a special place in my heart for that movie just because it really did inspire me and it really kind of.
Well, of course, you don't want to forget that.
No, I never will.
No.
No.
It's part of you.
And it's the only reason I really went off this year is because of that new movie coming out.
Yeah.
And Carpenter was involved in it and Jamie Lee Curcell. It was, it kind of wrapped everything up beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's probably a whole other conversation about your thoughts on that.
Get it. We can't talk about that.
We can't. No, as we're heading into our hour mark. That's we have a few episodes we could probably plan in the future.
You know, I'm basically a dork when it comes down to it, you know?
I mean, I think that's the best thing ever.
I think so, too.
Come on now.
Dorks
that's
are
amazing.
Cool, right?
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Are you kidding? Thank you so much. That was fun.
Where can everybody find you?
You know what?
On all your information.
Yeah. I mean, the easiest thing to do, if you wanted to like see some of the videos.
Give it all. Social media, what is it?
If you just punch up on YouTube, Kathy and Steve.
Mm-hmm. And it's Kathy with a C.
C-A-T-H-I-E. Yeah. So if you just punch that up, really, that can direct you, if you're interested in anything we're doing, it can kind of bring you all over the place. Mm-hmm. Also, plaidonline.com. Okay. You can find us there. So that's where the videos are. And then, you know, our products, again, are in Michaels and in Walmart. And so, yeah.
That's so cool.
It's fun.
So awesome. Yeah. Well, you continue to inspire me and motivate me every day. So.
You inspire me, too. And I'm loving that, what you're doing, and that you're loving your life and that you're happy.
Thank you.
Are you stress-free?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I always say a little bit of stress is good. I feel like it gives you that fire and that drive.
Yeah.
Like, I work well under that, but a healthy amount. You know, we take it for granted,
same,
I think, and don't realize how much, like, chronic stress can really cause bad health and a lot of negative symptoms. And
they say 3 out of 4 people go into the doctor just because for stress reasons.
And people don't really, they're like, stress, whatever. No. It, you know, we've become so, like, immune and used to it, and it's not normal.
I agree with you. I think a lot of health issues come from stress.
Absolutely. That's at the core. Yeah. So we have to live that Zen life as much as possible and that's make time for ourselves. And
however it is, physically, creatively,
and
whatever.
That's what I help a lot of clients do, you know, if it's, you know, between Reiki or personal training or nutritional coaching, but like just that wellness, mm-hmm. how can we make your life a little bit healthier and happier and get rid of some of that stress?
Great. Now let's go have a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Let's go. Now we'll go eat lunch. We'll let you know what that's going to be. Well, I love you and thank
love you,
you so much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. And if you guys have any questions or topics that you want to hear, you can go to my Facebook page and message me at Getting Zen with Gen Z. Until next time, I'll see you then. Thanks. Bye.